example that in all the details of Schmidt have given at Har Sinai. Interestingly, the Torah calls Har Sinai, only regarding Matan Torah. We don't find Har Sinai referring to this particular place at other occasions. What is it called elsewhere? It's called Chorev. When Moshe Rabbeinu took his sheep, Achar Midbar, deep into the Midbar, he took them to Chorev, Choreva. Later, it's also called Chorev. Of course, Shem is Sinai Bar, that's referring to Matan Torah again. But when the Torah had been given and Har Sinai reverted back to its original status, it was again called Chorev, like we find with Eliyahu HaNavi. Only for the Matan Torah do we find it's called Har Sinai. Chorev, as we know, it means dry. The Ibn Ezra says in Parashat Shemos that this was a very, very dry place, one of the dry places of the world where there was no rain, and it was a place where Moshe Rabbeinu could afford to bring his sheep without worrying about Geza, because there was nobody there. Nobody would bring their sheep there. It was Hefkel HaKol. And it's changed. We all know in a week's time we're going to be busy next week Friday, busy buying flowers, spending a lot of money to enhance our festival of Shavuot. And apart from the cheesecake, it's the flowers, the greenery that we adorn our homes, and many shuls, not according to the Minhag HaGra, are adorned with trees, with foliage, with green. Why is that so? Because Har Sinai became green. At Matan Torah it changed. It wasn't anymore the arid, dry mountain. It was beautiful. It was fertile. It was luscious. It was productive. Grass covered the slopes. Al yiro muha harahu. They had to have an instruction. Don't let the cattle graze. They were keen to graze on Har Sinai, because the mountain was covered with foliage with green. It changed. And to mark that change, we have flowers on Shavuot. What's so significant about that change, that it now became a fertile green mountain? The answer is really very obvious. When Klal Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma, when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, they brought blessing, they brought the Shechinah. And a dry, an arid, a barren area, a Har Chorev, a place that's got nothing, that nothing grows there, turns into a bracha, turns into a place of blessing, turns into a place where there are flowers, where there's fruitfulness. Why? Because the Shechinah comes. And that's why we have flowers on Shavuot, to remind us that when we accepted the Torah, we brought blessing. We brought the Shechinah down. And where the Shechinah is, there is blessing. My intimacy with Har Sinai, there's a very easy connection now. We find in the Shemitah year there's no productivity. Our lands are fallow. There's no sowing, there's no planting, there's harvesting, there's reaping, there's tilling. There's nothing that takes place during the year of Shavuot. The land is left, in fact, more, it's left Hefkel HaKol. Droves of people come in, help themselves, whatever they want. How can one survive? And the answer is Har Sinai. If you keep the Torah mitzvot, you won't have a dry, barren land, you'll have a blessed land. V'achartem l'soiva. You'll have plenty. Like on Har Sinai, when the Yidden were makabel the Torah na'aseh v'nishma, they saw only blessing. So it will be the same at Shemitah, where the Yidden, the Gibor Koach Yitzre Oseh Ratzono, when they down too, And they said it very much later on, we won't fertilize, we won't plant our fields that remain barren. When the Yidden say Na'aseh v'nishma, then there'll be a Har Sinai. There'll be productivity, there'll be plenty. Whether it'll be the higher bracha that the one grape can satisfy a person, he's full, he can't eat anymore. Or whether it'll be the v'tisvises v'chosi, that the land will be a bumper crop. Doesn't matter, there'll be blessing. Har Sinai, the blessing of the fruitfulness that we saw at Matan Torah, that's a blessing that the whole year will have, the Yev Shvi'is. Rashi says that, a bit further on, Pasukit Ches, V'asisim Shchikosai, V'yishavtam al Oretz L'Betach, and you will dwell on your land safely, securely. And Rashi says that what actually happened was that we didn't dwell on our land securely, Rashi says. Because in the Chukosai, we find at the very end, the last of the Tzachachas, we find three times mentioned the terribleness of not keeping Shavuot. What actually happened was we were sent to Golus. And it's a very, very long Rashi, out of the Rashi's character. But Rashi wants to explain it. Obviously, it's a Dabar Chashuv. Rashi wants to show us that the not keeping of Yovel, the not keeping of Shavuot, was a major failure of Klal Yisrael. To the degree that the last of the Tachokos, the 49 Tachokos, is from Shmita Tzaret. Three times the prophet tells us. And in fact, the very, very end of the Tachach, again it repeats it. The land will be appeased. You didn't keep Shavuot, you didn't keep Yovel. Tachach, curse. Why? Why is it that not because we're not keeping Shavuot, there's such a terrific punishment? If it's a din, Kirkhover says, okay, fair enough, there's Golos, but Shmita Sa'aret, why should that fetch such a high price of Golos? But you have to understand that there's more in Shavuot than perhaps that meets the eye. We know Shabbos is what's called a keyhole to Hashem. You're looking through a keyhole, you just see a little picture. You see that Shlomo Levi closes his shop, closed Saturday, and you wonder how is he going to survive. And you see his business flourishing. The market day of the week, he's not there. He's shut his shop, he's doing no business. And you see there's a God there. He's looking after his people. The most important day of the year, the most fruitful business day of the year, he's doing nothing, and he still survives. More, he grows. Have you heard of Grudzinski's? Grudzinski started in the East End. Father of Sean was there. I can't remember the name of his competitor, so forget it. But when Harry, what?
Rinkoff.
Rinkoff, fine, thank you very much. Perhaps I didn't want to mention his name. But when he started his shop, he kept up. It wasn't easy to make it stuff. And his competitor, I know what to say. Grudzinski's bakery took off. He bought 1, 2, 3. The other one stayed in one shop for many years and then he closed. The people were amazed. What's going on here? It's a keyhole to a sin. Keeping Shabbos, you get the Kohen HaBrach, you get blessing. Now, Rabbi Tzvi used to say, Shabbos is a keyhole, but Shavuot is a window. Why is it a window? You open the curtains, pull back the blinds, you see a whole nation. Hey, Jake, look at that! The whole people, they haven't tilled the soil! How are they going to survive? Let's watch. It's easy, everybody can see it's a window. Do you know what they're seeing? They're seeing a people coast along Strike through a year, happy, smiling, with plenty. It's a window to God. That's what Shmita is. Do you know the 7 years of the seventh son of Yovel, of Goleth, of Ekhazel? Do you know what a window that was? Well, Yirmiyahu Novi was a Welsh Novi. Everybody knew him. They had great delchats for Yirmiyahu Novi because they knew he was an Emesita Novi. And then all the newspapers, Shivim Shona, there's going to be a 7 years gone. They all knew it. And they all were terrified. And they all were apprehensive. And when Belshazzar made his silly mistake of his 7 years and he took out the Kleah Mishkan, the Kleah Mikdash, he was assassinated that very night. They saw God. Instead of the Jews showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they kept Shemiz and they kept Yovel, we had to show it to them in Golos. In our 70th Golos, we had to show that there's a God in this world. It's such an important mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, it's an edus. The Chacham says, Ma ha'edus v'chukim ha'mishpotim. There's chukim, there's mishpotim, there's an edus. A mitzvah that's edus. We have to make sure we're tenacious. We'll always keep it. Bris is an aid. Shabbos is an aid. Yom Tov is an aid. Shvi'as and Yovel is an aid. And they are the flag bearers of the Kaddish Rock in this world. They fly Hashem's flag. And when a Jew fails his mission, he does not bring a Kaddish Rock into this world, then Valkorcha Kaddish as you will. Golos. When the Goyim see the Jews survive in Golos. Have you heard of Mark Twain? He said, I've seen the Romans, the Babylonians, every nation rise and fall. But they've gone. They're in the dust heap of history. Except for the Jewish people. We, in our Golos, are still the window to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, that's what Rashi is saying. If we keep Shavuos, Bishaftan, and Pesach, you have nothing to worry about. But on the other side, if you don't keep Shavuos, if you don't keep Yovel, you'll have closed the window. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. That's Chilul Hashem. We'll have pushed Hashem away. It's a grievous sin. And it will fetch a very severe punishment. Punishment of Golos. And of course, we will then be able to Megale Kvod Shamayim. Very interestingly, even the Goyim know about Shabbos. Even the Goyim know it's a universal thing. It's a peloplos, really. The 7 day week. Why do the Goyim keep 7 day week? True, they start on Sunday or Friday, but what's that if seven? Rabbi Leib Grubitz told us that the Nefesh Asher Osu B'choron, that Avraham Avinu made Geirei Geirei. These are and they, where are the Gairim today? Have you ever seen any Gairim today that have probably been amazed? Where are they? So the Rosh Hashiva said, they're here. They're your next door neighbor. They're Mrs. Bloggs, who says, I believe there's a God. I believe the world was created in 6 days. Who was her Elsa Weber? Mary Sash Ossin Horror. Today we have Goyim who believe in the Bible, who treat the Bible with holiness. The Bible for many, many years was the best-selling book on the market. I said about the best. But another thing, that the Bible was for years after years the best-selling book. The old one, the Old Testament. The Goyim did believe in the Bible. They knew this God. And there's still millions today that believe there's a God in this world. They are the Nefesh Asher Osu B'choron. They keep the 7 days because they know there's Seishas Mebrachos. So when they see the Jews down too, then they're mechuzak with it. That is our job. That's just the keyhole. The Shabbos is the keyhole. They're just the individuals. When they see a whole nation, there cannot be a greater kiddush Hashem than that. Did you know? Are you observant Jews? Have you ever seen dice before? Dice are cubes, right? Can I ask you what's written on the cubes? Does anybody know? There's a little dot on one side, two dots. 3 dots, 4 dots, 5 dots, 6 dots, 7 dots. I used to play snakes and ladders, so I know all about dice. Now, have you ever noticed there's a white little dot on one side, what's on the other side? The number 6. On the 2, what's on the other side? the 5 and the 3 o'clock the 4, and every single dice in the world has got that combination. Every single dice in the world has got that combination of 1 with 6, 2 with 5, 3 with 4, 1. But perhaps it shouldn't be that. You should have 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, so 3 numbers at the 1. Why 6 numbers at the 1? Why is that so? Because if you add up the two sides of a dice, you'll always get the number 7. Even the Goyim, in their good luck, know that luck is from the first one. 7 represents that there's a God in this world. There's 6 sides to everything. 7 is the sum, is the input of our correspondence. Even when they throw the dice, they know that it's a 7. They know that really their luck is God divine, is God ordained. There's no such thing really as just pure luck. The only one who tries to deny it is Homon. Homon threw dice, did you know? Before Paul brought over, he wanted to work out a day before. Why did you turn around twice and try to take that one fake commission to the other and didn't have it to come off? Why did he what is so rightful? Because he wanted to match his commander for minor. He wanted to say, there's a couple of folk in the middle, I'm in the middle, my people. But the guy in the king, he wanted to deny that he's running Shalom. That he is really running the world. That's what he wanted to do. And of course he fails. Did you know there are many icons in this world? Gateshead is blessed with the most awful one, a preposterous monstrosity called Baal Tephoin. Have you heard of Baal Tephoin? The angel of the north. Grey, rusty, but there's a very beautiful icon which is probably the world's most known icon. Who knows what it's called? The Statue of Liberty. Have anybody seen the Statue of Liberty? I've seen it. I've been to Mexico. And I've gone by boat, and you have to wait a long time because there are hundreds if you'd like to go and see it. It's worth waiting because it's very, very impressive. It's a huge statue of a figure. She's got a slightly womanly face, not majorly so, and she's dressed very sneakily except for her arm, with beautiful robes. In her left arm she's holding something which looks very, very much like the book of. In her right arm, she's holding a torch, a star. She's got a fair paper. She's got an A star. It's amazing. And do you know what? She's got a headband. Has anybody counted it with spikes? Has anybody counted the number of spikes on this headband? You can guess. Do you know how many there are? 7. Even the Goyim, when they made this Statue of Liberty, they know the God is. They made an image similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, albeit womanly. It's so much like the look that she's got in her hand, it's unbelievable. She's got this beautiful torch, and she's got the 7, the spikes of 7, which was the recognition of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And of course, what colour is it? Green. It's the green of the 1,000 Hebrews. It's the beauty, the growth, the fertility. It's beautiful remnants. Even the Goyim understand this. To go a bit deeper into it, actually, there's a parallel between Matan Torah and the 7 days, the 7 years. We have Matan Torah, which is the counting the days, counting the weeks, coming to 50, culminating in Matan Torah. Mochas HaShabbos, Yom HaChamishim. Similarly, we have the years, we have the Shviyat year, we have the 7 weeks, 7 sets of the 7 years, culminating with the Yovel. Yovel is the man Matan Torah saying it's not just only a window, it's more than that in fact. It's bringing a Jew to Yovel, to the Madrega of Matan Torah. It's a replay, it's parallel. Did you know Yovel means the ram's horn? What do you think was blown on Matan Torah? The Yovel, the ram's horn. Everything's so similar with each other. The idea is that when we, if a year would follow the Shabbat, the Shavuot, the seven Shavuot plus the Yovel, he'll come to the Madrega of Matan Torah, he'll come to the Madrega of Kodesh Mechet, he'll be lifted to such a high level, it'll be a replay of Matan Torah, he'll be seeing a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael will see the mountain shake. Did you know Olam is used in the Torah as Olam? How long is as Olam? How many years is as Olam? 50. There's no word in the Torah that represents a bigger span of time. Olam is used with an Eved, he serves at Olam, which means forever, but it doesn't, it just means for 50 years maximum. Olam is 50 years. That is the cycle of the world. Olam, if we live our lives, our 50 years that goes through, and we bring ourselves up to the Madrega of Yovel, of Kisrofa, then we are royal to the Madrega of Matan Torah, where we pop the Zulma, we came to the Madrega of Kodesh. This is the Kashif, this is the importance of Shemitah Yovel, and unfortunately, we defiled Shemitah, we didn't keep it, and we had to go to Golos. But there's more than that. There's a famous Rambam which says it's one of the Sodas HaTorah. Those who know the Sodas don't say. Those who don't know it do say. So I'm saying, I don't really know it, that's what I'm going to say. But there's a famous Rambam who quotes even Ezra, and he says the Shavuot is actually contains the Sodas HaTorah. The Sheishit and Mebereishit, says the Rambam, represent the world, this world that we're living in. The Yom HaShvi'i Shabbat HaNafash, and the seventh day, says the Rambam, Shabbat Hashem Elokecha, is the great culmination of the world, is the finale of the world, when we'll all be in the Madrega of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yomim, referring to the days of the year, of course represent Ma'aseh Bereishis. The Shonim represent the whole Bris HaOlam. It's difficult to explain this, but we know we go through years where we're in the 5,772nd year, is that right? What happens when we reach the year 6,000? We're going to enter into the 7,000th year. When we reach 6,001, we will have already come into the 7,000th year. And that is Bris, that's the day which is Kula Lashem. And that is what, says the Ramban, is what Shavuos is trying to teach us. In the hidden depth of the Torah, Shavuos is not just a window to Hashem, it's a window to the entire world. It's revealing to us that our emunah in Hashem, that when we keep the days, when we keep the years, we are testifying to the Sheshes Yomim, and when we keep the Shemitah, and when we keep the Yovel, we are testifying to the entire world, this world and the world to come. Mizmer Shir Yom HaShabbat Le'osed Lavai Shekula Shabbat Umnucha Lachai Ha'ilamim. This is what the Levim said when Shabbos came in. We sing a song to Shabbos, Lasid Lavoi, which will be an eternal rest. This is the seventh millennium, which in Mitzvah Hashem, we will all be zoicha to see and to come. Thank you very much, and have a very good time. I've got it.